you will be doing this year, the year 2020. We thank you for what you'll be doing in our lives, in our community, in our nation. We thank you, Lord, hearts. Lord, we are living sacrifices for you, not dead ones, living ones. That means that we stand before you and say, use me, Lord. However you want to use me, use me. However you want to stretch me, and that's the hard one. However you want to stretch me, Lord, stretch me. I don't want to stay in an old wineskin. I want to be stretched and renewed by you, Lord God. I don't want to keep the same old way of thinking that may block what you have that is new, Lord God. Lord, we want to be those that never stop wanting to be revived, never stop wanting to be awakened, never stop wanting more of you. We don't want to become satisfied. We don't want to make our own personal denomination and sit on it and not grow. But we desire to grow, Lord God. We desire to say, here I am, Lord, use me. We desire, Lord, to be such open vessels for you to inhabit, you to speak to, you to work through, you to change. Thank you, Lord. 2020. We've probably all seen a few things on Facebook. I like, the Roaring Twenties. Cheryl put up a poster having the lion. The Roaring Twenties, not like it was back in the 1920s when it was roaring in a different way, but 2020 is a day of the Lion of Judah roaring. The Lion of Judah is now on the battlefield. The Lion of Judah is going forth and tearing down mountains, tearing down kingdoms that are against him. He who is in the heavens laughs at the vain plans of man. And when he speaks, mountains tremble. The mountains of whatever, politics, religion, and so forth. And then Stephanie was saying, 2020 vision, total complete vision. Correct vision of who God is, correct vision of what he's going to do, correct vision of who you are. You know, so often it's our vision of ourselves that stop God's plan in our life. It's not him. It's how we see ourselves. And so I speak freedom, complete freedom to each and every person in this room. Freedom to be who you were born to be. Freedom to be who God has called you to be. Freedom in the name of Jesus. When I was asking the Lord, what do you have to say about 2020? I've gotten two psalms. One of the interesting things that I did receive, and it was in that proclamation that we made, is breakthrough. There's going to be more and more breakthrough this year, because you have to have breakthrough in order to have 2020 vision, in order to have a 2020 life. Yeah, breakthrough. Psalms 20. This is interesting. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. And Psalms 20 says, is entitled A Song of Trust for the Pure and Shining One, for the end times. I never saw that before. Anyway. In your day of danger, may the Lord answer and deliver you. May the name of the God of Jacob set you safely on high. I like that. Safely on high. May supernatural help be sent from his sanctuary. May he support you from Zion's fortress. Now remember, a few weeks ago, Zion is the mountain of God. It's not a place. It's the kingdom of God, basically. It's not a mountain out there somewhere. Mountains represent authority. It's the God's authority. May supernatural help be sent from his sanctuary. May he support you from Zion's fortress, or may he support you from his holy mountain. May he support you. May he remember every gift you have given him. How do we give him gifts? Praise and worship is a gift if it comes from the heart. Our life dedicated to Him is a gift. May He remember every gift you have given Him. Every moment you said, praise the Lord. Every moment you said, thank you, God. Every moment you just adored Him. Every moment you said, I'm yours, Lord. We are His gift, and He is ours. May He remember every gift you have given Him and celebrate every sacrifice of love you have shown Him. Celebrate. Have you ever thought, you know, we've read about it, that God dances over us, sings over us, but have you thought about that? He celebrates you. He celebrates you, His creation, His lovely creation, His creation that is not redundant, His creation that is not, you know, maybe not worth a whole lot. No, His precious, loving creation that He placed Himself inside of you. And He's here, all right, my son, all right, my daughter, I'm excited to see you go forth. Just like when you have a child or a puppy. Since I've not had a child. You get excited when they start to walk, don't you? You get excited when they start to talk. God is the same way. When He sees us taking those steps forward, totally, completely in faith, He gets excited. And He rejoices and celebrates over that sacrifice of love that we show Him. May God give you every desire of your heart and carry out your every plan. And here He adds, as you go to battle, so spiritual battle, whatever that may be. When you succeed, we will celebrate and shout for joy. Flags will fly when victory is yours. Yes, God will answer your prayers, and we will praise Him. Amen. I know God gives me all that I ask for. Do you know that? Or do you just kind of know that? I mean, this is that I know God gives me all that I ask for and brings victory to His anointed King. My deliverance cry will be heard in His holy heaven by His mighty hand. Miracles will manifest through His saving strength. Some find their strength in their weapons and wisdom, but my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. Our boast is in the Lord our God, who makes us strong and gives us victory. Amen. Our enemies will not prevail. They will only collapse and perish in defeat, while we will rise up full of courage. I mean, do you have mind trips? Do you have doubt? Unbelief? Do you have worry, regret? It says, our enemies will not prevail. Our enemies will not prevail. Why? Because I know God gives me everything I ask for. And I know that it's not by the weapons of man that I will prevail, but it's because of my God. The miracle deliverance comes from Him. And I will boast in God. And He makes me strong. Therefore, my enemies will not prevail. They will not win. They will only collapse and perish in defeat, while we rise up full of courage. Give victory to our King, O God, the day we call on You. Give us Your answer. It's interesting. He goes back and forth in first person, second person, third person. It's quite interesting because it's a multi-prophetic psalm. It prophesies of Jesus, it prophesies of us, because we are kings and priests unto God as well. And we are those who are the heirs of salvation. 2020. Last week I talked about how it is so much stirring in my heart that we are going to enter into a major time of revival and awakening. Not only in our own lives, not only in this community, but in this state and in this nation. 2020, the time of seeing rightly. That's an awakening. That's a revival. And the one thing we have to really, I think, be careful of. See, seeing rightly, when something appears to be going wrong, when we have godly 2020 vision, we see beyond that. We see what God's doing in that or through that. And therefore, we are at peace. And therefore, we can proclaim what we see God is doing. And it's so important for us anytime, not just 2020, but anytime when something comes against our peace, whether it be something coming against us personally, coming against our state, our nation, our community, friends, whatever, family, we have to put on the eyes of Christ. We have to see how he sees it. When there's a storm, do we, like the disciples, say, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? Or do we put on his eyes and see through his eyes, which says, you got all authority over this. Peace be still. It's so important for us to be able to see and perceive the way he does. Otherwise, the blind will be leading the blind and both will fall in the pit. You know, but thank God he also takes us out of that pit, doesn't he? But I tell you, your heart will be more at peace. Our hearts will be more at peace when we, instead of reacting, say, okay, Lord, what are you doing in the midst of this? What are you doing in the midst of the fire? What are you doing in the midst of the storm? What are you doing in the midst of whatever it is? Show me, Lord, so I can give you glory for what you are doing. You know, we know that verse that says he makes all things come together for good for those that love him. But it's important for us to say, okay, what is it? How do I proclaim? What is it I do in this situation? What's your plan, your purpose? How are you going to turn all of this around so that I can start saying it and bringing it into motion and speaking it into the atmosphere? Psalm 42. Now this, again, I'm reading it out of the Passion Translation. It is as a deer pants. So, I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure that flow from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. That's where we need to be, where we are overwhelmed with a desire for more of God, where we are overwhelmed for a desire of his presence in our lives more than it is now. I long to drink of you, O God. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. Wow. You know, I think Sue was talking about it today. How we don't have to go through the blood of bulls and goats. We don't have to do anything religious to come into the presence of God, but just say, here I am. Here you are. You know, what was it? Kenneth Hagin Sr. said, it's just like stepping over a log to go from the natural realm into the spiritual realm. I remember when I first heard him say that, I pictured this huge log that I would have to try to climb to get over. And then, you know, as I grew more in the Lord, I realized, no, it's just going. It's really a conscious effort to sit there and go, okay, I know you're here and I feel your presence. There is so much peace in the presence of God, amen? And there's so much joy when we are in his presence. I mean, I love the presence of God. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. Face of God means the presence. I want to come and see or experience your presence. Day and night, my tears keep falling and my heart keeps crying for your help while my enemies mock me over and over saying, where is this God of yours? Why doesn't he help you? So I speak over my heartbroken soul. Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out front leading the procession of praise, when the great crowd of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord. You shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the festival of the Lord. In other words, don't forget the joy you had in his presence. So then my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, why are you depressed? Whoa. Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior, for no matter what, I will still sing with praise. I raise a hallelujah. For living before his face, or living in his presence, is my saving grace, the presence of God. Verse 6, here I am depressed and downcast, yet I will still remember you as I ponder the place where your glory streams down from the mighty mountaintops, lofty and majestic, the mountains of your awesome presence. You see, I'm not saying, oh, you can't get depressed, or, oh, you can't be downcast. Bad. Because that happens. We're human. But we need to, like, flip the switch. Say, okay, Lord, you know I'm depressed. You know I'm upset. You know I'm angry. You know I'm whatever it is. But I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to sing my praises, and I'm going to seek your face, seek your presence, because in your presence I get 20/20 vision. In your presence. I don't get it anywhere else. Verse 7, my deep need calls out to the deep kindness of your love. I love that. Most of the Bible say deep calls unto deep. My deep need calls out to the deep kindness of your love. Your waterfall of weeping sent waves of sorrow over my soul, carrying me away, cascading over me like a thundering cataract. Yet all day long, God's promises of love pour over me. Through the night, I sing his songs, for my prayer to God has been my life. Wow. My communication with God, my connection with God is our life. When we ignore or lose that connection, it's like we're in a dark place running into walls. Yet all day long, God's promise of love pours over me. Through the night, I sing his songs, for my prayer to God has become my life. I will say to God, you are my mountain of strength. How could you forget me? It ain't going to happen. He's not going to forget me. Why must I suffer this vile oppression of my enemies? Because they're jerks. Come on now. These heartless tormentors who are out to kill me? He never promised that we wouldn't have a problem. He just said he'd take us through it. Their wounding words pierce my heart over and over while they say, where is this God of yours? So I say to my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be disturbed. For I know my God will break through for me. The year of breakthrough. Then I'll have plenty of reasons to praise him over and over again. Yes, living before his face or in his presence is my saving grace. Freedom. We are meant to walk in freedom. Freedom from worry, freedom from all that stuff. And how does that happen? When we remind ourselves to walk in his presence. In the midst of the junk, in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the anguish. His presence, there's an interesting thing about his presence. Not only does his presence bring us into a place of joy, but his presence is where healing is. His presence is how miracles occur. His presence, you know, when you're sick, his presence, it has supernatural healing in it because he is the God who is the healer. Spending time in His presence will help us to walk in supernatural health and healing and peace and love and joy, all the characteristics of our God. They don't come by us saying, well, I'm going to walk in love today. I mean, no, we say, Lord, give me your grace to walk in your love. It's all about Him. Everything in this life of ours has its beginning, its middle, and its end in Him. Our part is to prepare our hearts for Him. 2020. We're going to start to see amazing things. I was listening to like a little 5-minute thingy from Bill Johnson. I guess it was a question and answer time. And somebody had asked him about revivals of the past and what is it that always caused them to stop. And he said that he believes that people got comfortable where they were. So they built a denomination. And they didn't want to go any further because they had gotten revived. But they didn't realize that there was more to come. In other words, they stopped allowing their wineskin. Yeah. Like I was talking about last week, we saw that in Israel. We saw that in the early Catholic Church. We saw that probably in ourselves, that wineskin. We can't hang on to an old wineskin. So we need to be spiritually flexible, so in tune to the Spirit of God. And in reality, that's not a difficult thing. It's part of doing that is saying, Lord, I want to be so in tune to your Spirit that I know everything your Spirit has for me to do in a day. That I recognize the presence of your Spirit. I recognize when I'm grieving Him. I recognize when I'm quenching Him. I recognize all these things because we are about to come into an amazing time on this earth. You know, you think of it, the former and the latter rain. In other words, the greatest revival this earth has ever known that will bring so many souls or so many lives into the kingdom of God. Yeah, it will be in His presence like never before, and that will be so much fun. And of course, the whole purpose is that He desires that none should perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm excited to see that desire of His come to pass. Everybody has a free will, we know that. But there are so many people. We are in a time now in the United States where we have so many people that do not know who Jesus is. They haven't even heard of Him. I mean, that's unusual for this nation. But we're there. And this is meant to be a nation under God. Amen. This is meant to be a nation under God. So let's be a people that prepare our hearts and keep our hearts subtle so that that wineskin can say, you know, we can go, oh, that's old, throw it out. Say, okay, I want the new. I want the new. You got more and more. I mean, to become satisfied in a certain area when God is so much more than we can even understand is maybe lazy. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't make sense because He's above and beyond anything we could ask or think. Cheryl, You had that something you were reading from your phone, I think it was. Would you share that? And if anybody else has something from the Lord regarding the year 2020 or now until, I invite you to come up when
the opportunity presents itself. I was just reading a scripture, actually. And I was I've been thinking about this. Now, I can't find it. I know how to use a phone. I know how to use my phone. Paul in Romans 7 is talking about doing the things he does that he doesn't want to do and doing the things he needs to do. Anyway, oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? That's what I was reading. Thanks be to God, he will. And just what she was talking about, seeing and being restored and being renewed. I don't have anything planned, but I've been chewing on, like a cow brings it up, chews on their cud. I've been chewing on, you've been saved by grace through faith. I may not make sense when I say any of this, but grace through faith. I didn't do anything, and this is probably going to be a sermon eventually, but there's nothing I can do. I can't deliver myself. I can't work up the spiritual atmosphere. I can. And so in 2020, God wants us not to try to generate something, I think. It's got to be grace through faith. We got to have faith to believe that God's got something he wants to do. And we got to have faith to have faith. And the more we just say, I believe, God, I believe you have something that's going to happen here. I believe it's going to start with everybody we talk to. I got a Facebook message from Kathy Grove this morning. Her back's not being well, and I don't know if she's been in the hospital, but she said, pray for me, I'm in pain. And so I, you know, prayed for her, and then I typed a prayer. And as I was typing, I was saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. And then I told her, and at the end of the prayer, you continue to speak this out loud over yourself, because you need to have faith. And I think that's what God wants us to do, instead of going, I don't know, it's going to be overwhelming. I don't know what's going to, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know. That's not faith. And not that we can even make faith arise, but we can purposely prepare our hearts, get in his presence, and say, I believe. Show me what it is, God, and I believe it. Another scripture that I've been chewing on. I go there. Are you so foolish? Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? Although you began with the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by human effort? That's what he's talking to me about. Human effort. I mean, I can't make myself any taller. Or I'd be, you know, I'm not overweight, I'm under tall. Come on, if I was this tall, it'd be a whole different ballgame. I can't fix my husband, but I can believe that God can. I can believe that everything's possible with God. Human effort. And nothing that the vision Deborah had, and she talked about the camp meetings, and we can't do it, but I believe God can. And that's what God's been speaking to me about me coming up this year. And I have to be not be a procrastinator and be purposeful in everything I do, in organizing my laundry room, cleaning out a closet, and letting go of stuff that is basically turning into garbage. I'm cleaning out my Christmas decorations going, this has been broken for several years. You just need to let it go. because trying to finish by human effort in here and in here has never worked before. Because if I could have done it, it would already have been done. So, 2020, let God show you how to clean it out and be purposeful to clean it out. Let him show you how to speak the way he wants to speak, and let God do it by grace through faith. Anybody else got something, little thing? Stephanie, do you have anything? Okay.
I thought you did. I was looking at you like, I got something.
You need to put your Bible there?
Well, yeah. The wineskin. Thank God for that, huh? When I entered today, I was thinking about the wineskin, you know, how when it dries up, it gets hard, wrinkled up, and all that stuff. And, you know, it's filled with the wine, which is the Holy Spirit. Woo, that was just, yeah. So, and, you know, I look around and I see a lot of gray heads, you know. Watch it, huh? Yeah. But, yeah, I'm talking about us. I think I sat this down. Let me see if I can get the right page here. But, you know, we're never too old, you know? And I just want to encourage you there. Let's see, and myself. And I came to Psalms 90. Let me find it. 90. Verse 12, I think it was. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So all our dreams, you know, we don't give up on those. And every day we have to wake up and pursue them. Our days are numbered. I think somewhere in Psalms 90 it talks about we live to be 75, 80. But you know, God isn't finished until he's finished with us, or, you know, until he calls us home. So I just want to encourage you to wake up every day, greet the days, go after what it is that your ambitions, your dreams, keep pursuing them. And that'll soften up the old wine pouch and and give you some vigor and destiny, and that's about it.
Okay. You know, when you were talking about the wineskin becoming brittle, you know, Jesus said that when the new wine goes into an old wineskin, the wineskin bursts and the wine comes out of it. When we don't change our wineskin, don't keep it soft, the wine comes out and we become dead. Because what's the wine? The Holy Spirit. And then we start trying to do things not by the grace and power of God, but by our human ability. I mean, unfortunately, we probably see that in many churches, be they denominational or not. You know, let's not see that here. And regarding all the gray heads, which, I don't know, it's kind of 50-50 in here right now, because some of y'all put a little color in it, but no. You know, if God had a age where he says, all over, he wouldn't be using this church in the way he's going to use it. You know, he wouldn't have used Moses. He wouldn't have used Abraham. You know, it's a fallacy that he only uses young. Actually, it's a total, I'm going to put it this way, demonic lie. Because who are the mothers and fathers? A gray head is a sign of what? Wisdom. I don't know about a white head, but anyway. God has such a plan and a purpose for each of us in this coming awakening and revival. And the glory. The glory. I mean, wow. So, Sue, do you have anything? Well, that's okay. Hey, it's quite all right. Okay, anybody? All right. Stephanie, you want to do communion?